11 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Smart Marketing for Small Business, the show where we help you think smarter, hopefully outsmart your competition, outthink them, outflank them, outmaneuver them, but without outspending them. This is Leslie Wolf, CEO of the Smart Marketing Group in Philadelphia and host of this show. The whole purpose of this show is to get you to think. As Henry Ford said, a man who cannot think is not an educated man, however many college degrees he may have acquired. We want you to think, and we've got a number of ideas to help you do that. But before we get into that, let's talk about a few other things I think might be of interest to you. We have our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, which we encourage you to participate in. We have four LinkedIn groups: Smart Marketing for Small Business, the same name as this show; Creative Thinkers Forum, ideas that get you to think a little more creatively, help you be more of a creative thinker; Celebrities for Marketing, giving you some insight as to how you can use celebrities for marketing; and also Fearless Marketers, for those of you who would be more of a risk taker. Now, the whole premise of a LinkedIn group isn't just what we put up there, but it's what you do with it and what you bring to it. And I'm going to challenge you in a little bit about participating in something special on the LinkedIn group Smart Marketing for Small Business. So get a pencil and paper or your iPad out, because I'm going to give you a challenge in a few minutes related to that. Now, at the same time, you also have our corporate site, smartmarketinggroup.com, that you can go up to and look at our advisory services. I also am a speaker and lecturer on all aspects of marketing, and we have a whole range of marketing programs that we can deliver for you, for your audience, help you attract customers, in particular if your customers are small businesses, the business to business area. But we have some programs designed for business to consumer as well. So there's a whole range of interesting things that we can do. But the key to this show is it's your show, not our show. And that's one of the reasons I want you to jot down right now our email address, because we want to hear from you. We want to be able to hone in on topics that are of interest to you, things that will make your life better, your business better. At the same time, if you have things that you could share with our audience, we would love to have you as a guest on our show. So get that pen or your iPad ready, and here is our email address: marketing.smartly, S-M-A-R-T-L-Y, marketingsmartly@AOL.com. We really would like to hear from you, because as I said, this thing is designed to be for your help. And we bring a lot of experience to this. I myself have more than 40 years experience in the marketing arena, and we have guests that bring in scores of other years of experience and expertise. We have an advisory board with probably over 750 hours of expertise that we can tap into from time to time. But again, these are things that we need to get you to participate in, because again, as I said, this is your show. But let's talk about thinking. There are some things to do, and one of the things that I encourage people to do, I'm a great believer in the power of quotations in order to make a point. And I'm writing a book on quotations called Smart Thoughts for Smart Thinkers. So I want to take a few excerpts of this, but I want you to listen carefully, because what we're doing here, we're going to expand over into our LinkedIn group, Smart Marketing for Small Business. What we do here, what in this book that we call Smart Thoughts for Smart Thinkers, which is not ready yet, but will be out soon, and we'll let you know when. The key is we take a quotation, a business quotation, we then interpret it, and then leave space for you to reinterpret it as you see fit. Well, what we're going to do on the LinkedIn group Smart Marketing for Small Business starting tomorrow, we will put a quote in and ask you to interpret that quote the way you think it should be interpreted. And also, if you have a quote of your own you would like to submit, that we will then interpret so that we have this interactive dialogue going back and forth. Now, we'll be very anxious to see what kind of response we get. But here's a couple of quotes that I want you to think about and the interpretation of them. Isaac Newton said, "If I've ever made any valuable discoveries, it has been owing more to patient attention than to any other talent." And we basically interpret that as being attention to details, including observation of a competitor's actions and activities, provides you an advantage overlooked by many. Think about that. Attention to details, including observation of a competitor's actions and activities, provides you an advantage overlooked by many. And then there is a quote by George Santana. "The human mind is not rich enough to drive many horses abreast and once one general scheme under which it strives to bring everything. Translated, too much on your plate at the same time is apt to lead to indigestion." And I'm an expert at that, let me tell you. All right, let's take a little musical note from Mozart. "The shorter way to do many things is to do only one thing at a time. Concentrating on Concentrating on completion of one thing at a time ensures you'll get much more done in a shorter amount of time." We're really talking about here about time management, and that is key. So that, you know, you really, when you look at these quotes, you listen to these quotes, there's so much richness in a quote. And just, let me give you another example. Bruce Lee, the kung fu movie actor, said, "A successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. Translated, today's business scene is a battlefield. Thus, take advantage of every proven tactic." And, you know, a gentleman named Jack Dixon stated something that I thought was very important. "If you focus on results, you will never change. If you focus on change, you will get results." Think about this. And this is the whole purpose of these, is to get you to think, to stimulate your mind, to motivate you. You know, because we tend to walk around somewhat in a rut, doing what we've always done and constantly doing, in some cases, imitating what others have done. What you've heard me talk about, the case of the mimic marketer who replicates, duplicates, imitates rather than originates. It takes time to think, but it works. You know, Ray Knight said, "Concentration is the ability to think about absolutely nothing when it is absolutely necessary. If you don't blink when you think, you might sink the competition." All right. We started talking about leadership tips at the last radio show. And we didn't get a chance to finish an article that I thought was very helpful. One of the real leaders in the world of leadership was General Colin Powell, or is General Colin Powell. And he gave a speech that I think is just tremendous. You know, and what we've taken is some excerpts from this. Excuse me. This was an Outreach to America program at the Sears corporate headquarters in Chicago. And I really believe it to be one of the finest pieces of counsel for present and future leaders that I've ever read. So, if you feel equally as strong about it, share it with others. All right, but let's take lesson one. Being responsible sometimes means pissing people off. Good leadership involves responsibility to the welfare of the group, which means that some people will get angry at your actions and decisions. It's inevitable. If you're honorable, trying to get everyone to like you is a sign of mediocrity. You'll avoid the tough decisions. You'll avoid confronting the people who need to be confronted. And you'll avoid offering differential rewards based on differential performance because some people might get upset. Now, this is, being responsible sometimes means pissing people off. Ironically, by procrastinating on the difficult choices, by trying not to get anyone mad, and by treating everyone equally nicely, regardless of their contributions, you simply ensure that the only people you'll wind up angering are the most creative and productive people in your organization. We deal a lot in the uncommon factor here, common sense. I know I sound cynical, and that's probably because I am cynical. But these are lessons of leadership that are based on, you take a judge whether you think it's common sense. All right, let's take lesson number two. The day soldiers stop bringing you their problems is the day you have stopped leading them. They have either lost confidence that you can help them or concluded that you do not have, you do not care. Either case is a failure of leadership. If this was a litmus test, the majority of CEOs would fail. Real leaders make themselves accessible and available. They show concern for the efforts and challenges faced by underlings, even if they demand high standards. Accordingly, they are also most likely to treat an environment where problem analysis replaces blame. Lesson three, don't be buffaloed by experts and elites. Experts often possess more data than judgment. Elites can become so inbred that they produce hemophiliacs who bleed to death as soon as they are nicked by the real world. Small companies and startups don't have the time for analytically detached experts. They don't have the money to subsidize lofty elites either. The president answers the phone and drives the truck when necessary. Everybody on the payroll visibly produces and contributes to bottom line results or their history. But as companies get bigger, they often forget who brung them to the dance. Things like all hands involvement, egalitarianism, informality, market intimacy, daring, risk, speed, agility. Again, these are common sense actions. Policies that emanate from ivory towers often have an adverse impact on the people out there in the field who are fighting the wars or bringing in the revenues. Real leaders are vigilant and combative in the face of these trends. Lesson four, don't be afraid to challenge the pros, even in their own backyard. Learn from the pros, observe them, seek them out as mentors and partners. But remember that even the pros may have leveled out in terms of their learning and skills. Leadership does not emerge from blind obedience to anyone. Xerox's Barry Rand was right on target when he warned his people that if you have a yes man working for you, one of you is redundant. Good leadership encourages everyone's evolution. You have to think about that. Never neglect details. That's lesson five. When everyone's mind is dulled or distracted, the leader must be doubly vigilant. Strategy equals execution. All the great ideas and visions in a world are worthless if they can't be implemented rapidly and efficiently. Good leaders delegate and empower others liberally, but they pay attention to details every day. You know, think about the supreme athletic coaches like Jimmy Johnson, Pat Riley, Tony La Russa, and ones, even those who fancy themselves as progressive visionaries, think they're somehow above operational details. And that's not true. Paradoxically, paradoxically, good leaders understand something else. An obsessive routine in carrying out the details begets conformity and complacency, which in turn dulls everyone's mind. That's why even as they pay attention to details, they continually encourage people to challenge the process. They implicitly understand the sentiment of CEO leaders that have been great successes and who are independently, you know, asserted that the role of a leader is not to be the chief organizer, but the chief disorganizer. Let's take another lesson before we take a break. You don't know what you can get away with until you try is lesson six. You know the expression, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Well, it's true. Good leaders don't want an official blessing to try any things out. They're prudent, not reckless, but they also realize a fact in life. In most organizations, if you ask enough people for permission, you'll inevitably come up against someone who believes it's his job to say no. And so the moral is, don't ask. I'm really being serious. You know, research with colleagues have shown that the less effective medical managers endorse the sentiment, if I haven't explicitly been told yes, I can't do it. Whereas the good ones believe, if I haven't been explicitly told no, I can. Then there's a world of difference between these two points of view. I want to go back for a moment to some of the services that we offer. As I mentioned before, we want to hear from you related to your thoughts, topics, things that are of interest to you, things we can do to enhance this show for you. And that is reaching out to us at marketingsmartly@AOL.com. We encourage you to go to our blog, smartmarketingmoves.com, and participate. But in particular, our LinkedIn groups, Smart Marketing for Small Business, Creative Thinkers Forum, Celebrities for Marketing, and Fearless Marketers. And I emphasize the term fearless marketers because so many people are not risk takers. And risk takers are the ones that make things happen. That's where the advance in business always comes from. Someone who's willing to take a risk. Not a wild risk, a well thought out risk, but you have to do that. In addition to the fact that, as I said, we offer workshops, seminars, webinars, and I enjoy getting out and doing what I call interactive dialogue speaking with groups that are made up in particular of small business people who are anxious to talk about the concerns and issues they have. All right, let's get back for a moment to this interpretation of quotations. You know, let's see. Let me take a quote here. Okay. I don't know who said this, but I like this quote. If you chase two rabbits, both will escape. Take one challenge at a time, and you will achieve much more in a shorter time period. Common sense. What people say, what people do, and what they say they do are entirely different things, so said Margaret Mead. Being honest to yourself will improve your reputation with others. So there are points that be made. And I'm going to give you a little longer quote with a very short interpretation, but it's by a gentleman who is extremely successful, Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate. "Here is the prime condition of success," he said. "Concentrate your energy, thought, and capital exclusively upon the business in which you are engaged. Having begun on one line, resolve to fight it out on that line, to lead in it, adopt every improvement, have the best machinery, and know the most about it. Simply stated, operate with a rifle shot approach versus a shotgun blast, and you'll bag more victories." And Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Concentration is the secret of strengths in politics, in war, in trade, in sure, in all segments of human affairs. Translated, maximizes practice and you will minimize failure." One more quote by one of the persons I consider well worth quoting, Vince Lombardi. "There is only one way to succeed in anything, and that is to give it everything. Put 100% or more into your efforts, and the results will be strong, surprising, and steady." And the man knew what he was talking about. All right, let's go back to Colin Powell and some of the points that he was making. All right, lesson 7. Keep looking beyond surface appearances. Don't shrink from doing so just because you might not like what you find. "If it ain't broke, don't fix it" is the slogan of the complacent, the arrogant, or scared. It's an excuse for inaction, a call to non-arms. It's a mindset that assumes or hopes that today's realities will continue tomorrow in a tidy, linear, and predictable fashion. Pure fantasy. Ain't gonna happen. In this sort of culture, you won't find people who proactively take steps to solve problems as they emerge. Here's a little tip. Don't invest in these companies. Lesson 8. Organization doesn't really accomplish anything. Plans don't accomplish anything either. Theories of management don't much matter. Endeavors succeed or fail because of the people involved. Only by attracting the best people will you get accomplish great deeds. Think about that. Getting the best people you possibly can. In a brain-based economy, your best assets are people. We've heard this expression so often that it's become trite. But how many leaders really walk the talk with this stuff? Too often, people are assumed to be empty chess pieces to be moved around by grandmasters, which may explain why so many top managers immerse their calendar time for deal-making, restructuring, and the latest management fad. How many immerse themselves in the goals of creating an environment where the best, the brightest, the most creative minds are attracted, retained, and more importantly, unleashed? Again, we're dealing with common sense. Think about this. How would you like to be treated? Do you want to be treated as part of the team or somebody who's led around by your nose? Now, this is key. And these are the lessons to be learned. They may have been learned in war, but business is war. Excuse me. I'm having a cough today. All right. Lesson 9. Organization charts and fancy titles count for next to nothing. Organization charts are frozen photos in a workplace that ought to be as dynamic as the external environment around you. If people really followed organizational charts, companies would collapse. In well-run organizations, titles are also pretty meaningless. At best, they advertise some authority, an official status conferring the ability to give orders and induct, induce obedience. But titles mean little in the terms of what real power, which is the capacity to influence and inspire. Have you ever noticed that people will personally commit to certain individuals who on paper or on the organizational chart possess little authority, but instead possess pizzazz, drive, expertise, and genuine caring for teammates and products? On the flip side, non-leaders in management, on the flip side, non-leaders in management may be formally anointed with all the perks and frills associated with high positions, but truly do they have little influence on others apart from their ability to extract minimal compliance to minimal standards? You've got to get a team working together, and you do that out of respect, mutual respect for one's ability and opportunity for them to express themselves. Now, lesson 10, never let your ego get so close to your position that when your position goes, your ego goes with it. Too often, change is stifled by people who cling to familiar turfs and job descriptions. One reason even large organizations wither is that managers won't challenge old, comfortable ways of doing things. But real leaders understand that nowadays, every one of our jobs is becoming obsolete. Think about that. Now, the proper response is to obsolete our activities before someone else does. Effective leaders create a climate where people's worth is determined by their willingness to learn new skills and grab new opportunities, thus perpetually reinventing their jobs. The most important question in performance evaluation becomes not how well did you perform your job since the last time we met, but how much did you change it? Change is inevitable. You have to be, open to it. An open mind is key to the success of a business person. All right, I'll give you a couple other points very quickly. All right. Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. The ripple effect of a leader's enthusiasm and optimism is awesome. So is the impact of cynicism and pessimism. Leaders who whine and blame engender those same behaviors among their colleagues. I'm not talking about, stoically accepting organizational stupidity and performance incompetence with a what-me-worry smile. I'm talking about a gung-ho attitude. It says we can change things here. We can achieve awesome goals. We can be the best. Bear me the grim litany of the realist. Give me the unrealistic aspiration of the optimist any day. All right, keep in mind that we're going to start putting on our LinkedIn Smart Marketing for Small Business quotations with an interpretation, and encourage you to reinterpret it, and also to submit your own quotations that among us we can interpret it, get a dialogue going with everyone. And what I would ask you to do is tell other people about this idea of quotation, interpretation, reinterpretation. Encourage them to visit our LinkedIn group, Smart Marketing for Small Business. I think you'll find it extremely interesting, very interactive, and very stimulating and motivating. So I wish you the very best. This should be the best year you ever had, and thus I would hope that every year after this even becomes better. This is in your control. Let's see what you can do with it, and we'll do whatever we can to help and support you as well. So thank you. spread the word about this show every Wednesday at 11 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, and we look forward to hearing from you. Take care.